Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
The church we attend was, we just started doing a series based on a book. It's called Behold Your God by John Snyder. Every Wednesday evening, we watch the video. Our pastor then leads a discussion, and we talk about the theme of that week's study. Now, so far, it's been rather enlightening, so I thought I'd do a mini-series of articles connected to the study, using Colossians 1, 15 through 20 as our main text. Now, the book itself uses a number of different sections of Scripture, but I want to zero in on this one. With each of these particular articles or radio blogs, I want to highlight and discuss a verse or just a phrase from the Colossians passage that will help focus our minds on Jesus as God the Son. Now, one of the things John Snyder states in his video series is that, quote, Western civilization has grown bored with God, unquote. Well, at first, that seems a little bit unlikely, doesn't it? If not outright a false statement, if we look at many churches today, what we see is tremendous growth in number of people attending. We notice the excitement in many of these churches as evidenced by so many of their programs. Their music is upbeat, often described by many as uplifting, exciting. And there is certainly an excitement for many of the people who attend. Now, in short, if there appears to be, so much happening in so many of these mainline denominational churches across America, how can it possibly be true that American Christians have grown bored with Jesus? Could that be true? But I think a closer look tells the story. Now, in many churches where the numbers are very high, where the music is very lively, where there is a program or a class for everyone and every subject, we should actually stop and consider what it is that the people attending those churches are all about. What is their primary reason for attending that church? Snyder essentially states that even amidst all the excitement, the numbers, the plethora of programs, it has actually become very easy to miss Jesus and not even be aware of it. What does that mean? Well, he likens it to coming into the church as a Christian, the spiritual body, receiving salvation. We're taught that Jesus is the door, and he is. So once we receive salvation, we cross over that threshold from death to life eternal through Jesus. And he's the door, John 10, 9 through 16. Now, after receiving our salvation through Jesus, the door, we then tend to start leaving him behind us. We made it. We're saved. Amen. Now what? Now, too often, we fail to acknowledge or realize that true salvation, while gained from Jesus, the door, the maintenance of that salvation occurs as we grow in our faith after we receive salvation. Now, most would agree with that, but not all would agree with the definition of it. What does it mean to grow in our faith? Ultimately, it means to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We forget that Jesus is a living, breathing, vibrant, completely unique individual, fully man and fully God. By way of example, I've been married to the same woman since 1986. This year, we celebrate our 32nd year of marriage. Now, I can honestly say that I know my wife much better now today than I did when we first married or were just dating. We know each other better because we actually worked at doing so. It didn't just happen. We didn't take it for granted. We didn't simply assume, okay, hey, we're married. That's pretty much it. No, it took time, work, commitment, and toss in some frustration added to the mix to get us where we are now. How can it be any different with becoming and being a Christian? Is it possible that too many of us Christians today have set aside Christ, exchanging him possibly for the bells, the whistles, the baubles that are overflowing within much of Christendom? I think it's more than possible. And it's something that we need to ask ourselves constantly. Am I guilty of doing this? Have I forgotten not only who Jesus is, but that he's in my life to begin with? Snyder asks us to begin seriously reflecting on the very nature of Jesus, who he is, what he means to us, what he has accomplished for us, and how that should make us react to him. I'm not sure we do that enough. In fact, I know in my own life I don't do that enough. It's something that I'd like to change. And that's the reason for this little series. And hopefully you'll benefit from it as well. We're going to focus on Colossians 1:15 through 20, as I mentioned, during each of these short articles or radio blogs. So I want to repeat that text each time we approach it. Here it is in the English Standard Version. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, for this particular blog, article, radio, episode, I want to focus on the first phrase of verse 15, and that's all that we'll cover today. Paul tells us, referring to Jesus, that he is the image of the invisible God. Stop and consider the meaning of that phrase. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What does that mean? Well, it can only mean one thing. It literally means that Jesus is God. The very image, the word or the term image is very interesting. Hebrews 1:3 tells us the same thing with different verbiage. Quote, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. The exact imprint. Other translations might say the express image. Jesus is the exact imprint, the perfect reflection, the literal image of God. And this is why Jesus could say that to see him was to see the Father, John 14:9. Is it any wonder why the religious leaders became so highly offended by Jesus' statements? He was literally claiming equality with God. He was literally saying, I am. Wow. Now, everything that Paul tells us in the Colossians passage points to Jesus' deity. No loftier language can be found in the New Testament. Paul wants us to know who we are in relationship with. And he does so using language that far surpasses our ability to fully comprehend it. But it's something we should meditate on, contemplate, think about. We need to be careful here because the English word image, that can have several meanings, and often an image can refer to a copy that is not exactly 100% reflection of the thing it's based on. Let me give you an example. I spent years building and painting models. I really enjoyed building figure kits the most. These are character-related models of characters like Superman, Batman, Robin, and many others, most produced by the old Aurora Plastics Corporation modeling company. Some of you may remember. Some of you may have built models from them as well. They were eventually bought out by Nabisco. Then Nabisco closed that branch and sold remaining molds and tooling, mostly to Revell Monogram. Now, some of these old models still get released every once in a while today. But when the original tooling was created for those models, they were normally sculpted out of a substance called acetate. And they were sculpted by a man, for the most part, by the name of Bill Lemon. And once he completed his work, the original was taken over to another department at Aurora and cut into numerous pieces because molds of the pieces were the next phase. You couldn't cast an entire model as one piece. It had to be broken down and cut up. Now, once the molds were made of all those individual pieces, a test product was created on the injection molding machines. This test product would then be assembled by people at Aurora Plastic Model Corporation, and it would be determined whether or not work needed to be done, adjustments needed to be made on the original mold. The problem with injection molding of anything is that over time, the product takes on aspects that are actually caricatures or not really, really close to the original. They're exaggerations. They're little problems that are created. And after a while, it stops looking like the original. And because of that, the molds need to be replaced with new ones every so often to ensure the integrity of the actual model so that it fits like the original test piece fits. This issue exists in nearly all manufacturing facilities simply because of wear. As a mold is constantly being used, it wears down. Now, with respect to Jesus, this is not an issue. Isaiah 9:6 says this, which points to Jesus, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Notice the phrase, "to us a child is born." This highlights the fact that Jesus was physically born into this world and was fully human. The second phrase of that verse says, "To us a son is given," and tells us that Jesus was alive and existed before he was born as a human. He was given to humanity as a gift of God in human form. For what purpose? To bring salvation to us. In other words, while the first phrase tells us that Jesus was fully human, the second phrase informs us that Jesus existed prior to his birth as a human. In what form? As God. That is the only answer to this unasked question in verse 6a. Now, if you're a Christian, whether you think so or not, you are in relationship with Jesus, who is the God-man. What should this promote within our thinking, your thinking, my thinking? How should this characterize our desires, our feelings, our knowledge where Jesus is concerned? Jesus is the exact image of God the Father. Therefore, Jesus is God. He's not simply a reflection of what God is like. He is God. Constable's notes tell us that Paul's use of the word image, quote, implies the illumination of its inner core and essence, unquote. Jesus literally expresses the very mind of God because he is God. He is not a God. He is God, very God. And Constable states again, quote, "To call Christ the image of God is to say that in him the being and nature of God have been perfectly manifested, that in him the invisible has become the visible," unquote. Now, in short, Jesus is the very visible, perfect expression of the invisible God in tangible form. Does this not speak of God's great love for us? He literally chose to become a human being, to be born into humanity, to live a life that was completely sinless, thereby being able to offer himself as a propitiation for our sin, yours and mine. This he did because God is love, much greater than I think we will ever, ever truly be able to appreciate. And I don't care how much time we have in eternity, but we've got to start trying to appreciate that now while we live in this life. The truth about God begins with who he is. These are the things we need to focus on so that we can actually get to know our God more than we do. Too often, we burden ourselves with being involved in all the programs, all the fellowship, all the church things. Well, those things are certainly good and necessary, but they should be a means to the end, not an end in and of themselves. We Christians need to learn to stop, focus, contemplate, consider just who Jesus is and what he means to us. We'll be back next time with more on Behold Your God from Colossians 1. I'm Dr. Fred. Thanks so much for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray God opens your eyes to the truth about who he is.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.